This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. This year, the Old School House Art Gallery had a member show to conclude the season, and for the first time, Randy Louie was a part of the member show. I'm here with Randy Louie now to hear more about his art and how it all came to be. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. My name is Randy Louie, and I come from Clahoos. I have two cultural names. I have one from Clahoos, and that name is Clem Kotaki. Clem Kotaki was a given name from my grandfather, handed down from one of my relatives in Clahoos, Jesse Louie.
Beautiful.
I had a naming ceremony when I was 16 years old, and my family, my mom wanted me to have my dad's side of the name, so she called family members up here in Clahoos and she asked if they could receive a name for handing down for me, and they couldn't find my grandpa's name, and once she found it, she called us back, and it was just days before my naming ceremony. So, was my grandfather's name, so that's the name that was handed down to me. The other cultural name I have, Blondes, that comes from Malahat, and that one came from my great-great-grandfather of Malahat, so I have two names.
So what is that name?
It's hard to pronounce, but Skatikhalak. Skatikhalak is my great-great-grandfather's name, given from my family members of Malahat, and I guess that meant a person who lived on the water, and I guess that was my great-great-grandfather, and he used to love fishing, and he was a paddle maker and a canoe maker. Yeah.
Beautiful. So, you are an artist. How did that happen?
I started carving probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I was new to Clahoos. I was just now meeting my family here, and I was traveling up and down the island. I went to Campbell River and found my family at Hamulco. Then I met up with my cousin Darren Blaney, and he was carving little paddles, and I liked those paddles so much I asked if I could have one, and he gave me a little plank piece of wood with a stenciled paddle in there and gave me a carving knife and said, maybe you should try and carve your own paddle. And I carved my paddle, I start chipping away at it, and then once I was finished, the paddle too similar to what his looked like, and then I showed him the paddle, and he was like, you know, you're supposed to give your first carving away. And then he grabbed the paddle from me, and then he was like, put it in these paddles. So I was like, oh, man. I was kind of upset because I was like after one of those paddles he had and paddle necklaces. And after that, he reached in his bag and gave me one of those necklaces, and I was like all happy because it had like a nice design on there, and I was showing it off. And after that, I was trying to give him his carving knife, and he was like, no, you can keep that knife. There's rules for that, though. There's teachings that you don't leave it laying around. Don't let it collect dust. Use it all the time. Use it often. And that's where it actually started. So after he gave me that knife, I started carving paddles. And to this day, I'm still making paddles for a lot of my guests and family members. And I think I made over 4,000 paddles carved in that time frame. So I'm really thankful that he's given me that knife.
Wow, all with that same knife.
Yes, pretty well. I have newer knives now too, so.
That's impressive, 4,000 paddles. So you mentioned your guests and your family members that you make these paddles for. Who are your guests?
I work at Clahoose Wilderness Resort, and I'm a cultural interpreter there, so I do a lot of the cultural activities with all our guests. We take them on boat rides, and we take them bear viewing back to the lodge, and when we get back to the lodge, I get to show them how to carve paddles, and I bought a whole bunch of carving knives just for them to practice with, and some of the guests don't know how to carve, but they love the company, so they'll sit around the table, grab a knife, and start chipping away, and they lose time, and the paddle's pretty well almost finished, and it's a great experience for them, and some of the guests have bought carving knives ever since that time, so that's good.
Wow, so you're passing on these techniques, and is that something you do outside of the wilderness resort, like with your family or friends?
Yes, I'm a spiritual dancer, so a lot of our families go to these longhouses, and we travel from one nation to another to show respect to our family members. And in order to help someone out, you have to gift them things like paddles and cedar weaving, like roses and ribbons and bowls, carved bowls. And this is all to help out a family that's doing a ceremony in the longhouse. So we do that all during the winter time, and we do it during the summertime for canoe journeys. So that's where a lot of my time is spent, carving those paddles, is preparing for family in the winter time and preparing for the canoe journeys in the summertime.
Wow. I like how you describe it as like the time passes and the paddle is almost finished, and all these different times that you are using to create the paddle are really significant. Wow.
I first made my A paddle when I was 16, but it was like the 5-foot paddle. And it was the same story back then. When I first made the paddle, I had one of my uncles showing me how to do it step by step. And when I was done, the paddle disappeared and someone took my paddle. And I was kind of upset about it back then. But it was the same teaching too. I had to give my paddle away. So my uncle took the paddle and then he put it up on his wall. And it's still there today. So every time I go back to Malahat, I go visit that house just so I can see the kind of work I can do, like for carving paddles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you didn't actually start carving 8 or 9 years ago.
No. Well, I just remembered that because I do small ones now, and I never used a carving knife for that. And for the bigger paddles, I had bigger tools, and it was power tools, and back then it was intimidating, so I never really made any other paddles that big since then. But I do the smaller ones carved with like a little carving knife.
Yeah, so you've talked about, okay, you've made over 4,000 of these smaller paddles that you can wear around your neck. But what other mediums do you do now, and what was actually showcased in the show?
Oh, I started, after making the paddles, I got comfortable with a carving knife. I start making plaques, carvings that can go on the wall for family members or anyone, actually. I made a raven with the moon, and I carved a eagle paddle. And the paddle, the one I made is a 3-foot paddle. And it was for ceremonies. Anyone that is given a paddle like that would use it for songs that we do in the canoe journeys, and they dance with those paddles. So those are the first two I've ever done for a gallery.
Wow, beautiful. How did that experience go for you?
It was really good. It was a great experience. I was really nervous. I didn't know if it would sell. Like, I'm still at the point where I'm trying to put my price into my work. It's hard to put a price to it because there's a lot of work that goes into carving. And yeah, when that sold, I was happy. Like, it kind of like motivated me to keep that knife in my hand. So now I still carve. Since that time, I've made like 3 more carvings and they're roughly finished. It's just getting down to the details where I have to do sanding and paint.
Yeah, so you paint everything as well. And I was going to ask, are there also any other components that go into the pieces?
Oh, abalone?
Yes.
Have abalone. Yes, that was to add details for the carving. I love black and I love the abalone, how it pops out for details. And I did that with that's the second carving I'd done with that. And it seems really popular. Like, a lot of the guests and family members love that. So I think that's the kind of theme I'm going to go with.
Beautiful. And does the abalone have any personal significance for you?
For details, I guess for me it would be details. I know it's cultural and we use it for a lot of our ceremonies. And for me, adding it to the carving, that made it look different. Like, it actually gave it detail to it being a spiritual animal or bird. And it just made it, to me, it seemed like it just brought it back to life. Yeah.
It is the eye of the eagle, right?
Yes, the eagle and the raven, and in the moon. I have those little pieces in there, and I have other carvings, and I save those little spots for last for carving because I want to take my time with detailing the face of this spirit or this animal.
Beautiful. Awesome. Is there anything else upcoming? It sounds like you're working on 3 pieces right now, you said. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
The ones that I'm doing now is just for fun. I just want to get my artwork out there now. When I was growing up, I kind of doubted myself. I never had time to do it. So now I just want to make sure I have those ideas I have put down on a piece of wood so I can start carving it. And I have a lot of pieces at home now that are starting to have pencil marks all over it and details of art that I want done.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not doing much with them. I just kind of like want to help out my families eventually. So if I can, I'll let it go. Sell it, or if I can, or trade. I guess my family used to sell their carving before, and they've always had a hard time with it, like selling it back in the day, and it just got them by no matter what. And I think I'm still continuing on with some of that tradition. Carving is not a job, it's just a hobby. And I learned from elders and other people that carve that you can't make it into a job or else it gets difficult. And so I always take my time to have fun with it.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.